It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When you think of the geography of Illinois, there are a lot of things that probably come to mind, right? Prairie, as far as the eye can see, the occasional forest, and yes, even a few hills. But what probably doesn't come to mind are volcanoes. And yet, in Hardin County, at the southeastern tip of the state, you can find a dormant volcano, Hicks Dome. At ground level, it looks like one of the many other bluffs in southern Illinois. But go below the surface, and you'll find unique and unusual minerals and elements. Now, lest you panic and start checking the expiration date on the MREs in your go bags, the odds that it'll erupt, let alone anytime soon, are slim to none. We spoke about this in May with Daniel Hummer. When we talked to him, he was an assistant professor of geology at Southern Illinois University Carbondale and was about to be promoted to associate professor. Our conversation is on tape, so we're not taking calls live, but let us know what you think by leaving us a voicemail anytime. The number for that is 217-300-2121, 217-300-2121. Okay, here's our conversation on Hicks Dome in Southern Illinois. Professor Hummer, congratulations on tenure, and welcome to the 21st Show.
Yes, thank you. Thanks a lot for having me. It's great to be here.
All right, we're going to get more into the minerals, but big picture, if somebody went to visit Hicks Dome, what would they see?
Well, it's funny. It's such a geologically unusual area, but to the naked eye, just from the ground, it more or less looks like a big hill, a really big hill.
This is not the Hawaiian volcano experience.
No, not quite the Hawaiian volcano experience. Yeah, it's just a big hill. It's about, between 1 and 2 miles across, and it rises above the rest of the landscape by about 4,000 feet. So, it has significant topography, but it certainly doesn't look like a mountain, much less a volcano.
What do we know about how it was formed?
So what we know is that a very, very unusual magma rose up through the Earth's crust in the neighborhood of about 270 million years ago. And that age is something that I would say most researchers in the area agree on. There are some that think it's a little bit younger than that. But for the most part, we believe 270 million years ago, this very, very unusual composition of magma that was very frothy, very full of carbon dioxide, just like the soda, came roaring up through the Earth's crust and, basically tried to erupt. It tried to erupt into a volcano, but it didn't quite make it. It did not make it into the surface. But what it did do is just below the surface, it kind of exploded and shattered a bunch of the surrounding rock and emplaced all of that igneous, that magma, that igneous material into the subsurface.
Maybe for those of us who it's been a long time since we had a geology class or archaeology, what maybe that's not even the right term, but this is the Permian period, right? Pangaea, one big continent, essentially, in the U.S. Can you, what yes. Animals might be familiar to us from history museums, natural museums?
Yeah, so this was, as you said, this is the Permian period, and this is actually the period in geologic time right before the Triassic. So this would have been just a little ways before the dinosaurs got started. So there were no dinosaurs around yet, but there were lots of land plants, there were lots of land animals, there were other kinds of reptiles that were roaming the earth at that time, but not quite the dinosaurs yet. So in any animals that would have been around during that time would have been treated to quite a show. They would have seen, the ground bulging upward, and streams of gas escaping from fissures in the ground, as this volcano was trying to take shape and couldn't quite do it.
So I think I mentioned Hawaii earlier. People are used to the idea of volcanoes in the Pacific, maybe the Pacific Northwest here. Is it unusual to have something like this in the Midwest?
Yeah, it is very unusual. And it's not something that could ever happen today because we are... we're very much, in the middle of the North American continent, the North American tectonic plate, as we call it. And yes, normally when you think about things like volcanoes and earthquakes, if you think back to your high school geology, that is normally going to take place on the boundaries between tectonic plates. So yes, places like the Pacific Northwest, California, and so forth. But it doesn't normally happen in the middle of continents. But back during the Permian period, all of the continents were together in this supercontinent that we call Pangaea. And at that time, there happened to be ruptures here in the middle of the continent. There was rifting and faulting that was taking place. There was fracturing in the Earth's crust in this location that would have allowed this to take place. But that was, of course, over 200 million years ago. So it was a very different time and very different setting to what it is today.
All right, so we've talked about above the ground, we've talked about the formation. So what about underground? What sorts of minerals? So you mentioned it's not much to see above ground, maybe it just looks like a big hill, but what makes it unusual underground?
Yeah, so what makes it really unusual is that this magma has a very unusual composition. And there's a lot of weird stuff in there. It is definitely not, the run-of-the-mill, part of the mantle that would normally melt and rise upwards and form a volcano. It's full of weird metals like barium, like thorium, which is radioactive. And it also seems to have emplaced, and this is something that my research group has been working on, and the Illinois State Geological Survey has been working on. It seems to have emplaced a lot of rare earth metals, which are a really big deal nowadays because we need them for a lot of our new technologies.
Well, that's interesting. So, yeah, I want to come back to that idea of rare earth metals. But I understand that even in the Southern Illinois history of mining, Hicks Dome played a role in that. What was mined before the advent of iPhones and batteries and other things, or at least lithium, batteries? What were people mining there in the past?
Yeah, so in the region of Hicks Dome and to the southeast and the rest of southeast Illinois and into Kentucky, there is what's known as the Illinois Kentucky Fluorspar District. And it was mined very heavily for its fluorite content, which contains the element fluorine, which we need to make a variety of different chemicals. So that was something that was heavily mined during a lot of the 20th century. And there's a lot of lovely mineral specimens. Mineral collectors know that area well because a lot of beautiful fluorite and other types of minerals come from that region.
Why did mining stop at Hicks Dome?
Well, for the most part, they were starting to run out of fluorite, and prices change over time, and the prices of those kinds of commodities just changed in such a way that it wasn't very economical to mine it there anymore. There were other places that were, kind of easier to access it and get profit from it.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Daniel Hummer. He is a soon-to-be associate professor, currently an assistant professor of geology at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. And we're talking about Hicks Dome in Hardin County at the southeastern tip of the state, which is essentially a dormant volcano, not the kind that's expected to erupt really anytime soon. But it is something that scientists are interested in and figuring out exactly what's there. And one of the things we were talking about is the potential use of some of these rare earth materials. Say more about what is there, and as you mentioned, we have all this advanced technology. There has been this renewed or new focus on sort of onshoring some of this capacity for some of the, obtaining some of these raw materials that are needed for advanced batteries and smartphones and things like that. How could Hicks Dome potentially play a role in that future?
Yeah, it could potentially play a role, and that's something that we've been working on. So, yeah, at the moment, these rare earth metals that we use in our smartphones and in a variety of other electronics, they are, difficult to get out of the ground. They're difficult to find concentrated in one place. And right now, China owns most of the world's supply. They're the ones that are really you know, selling these rare earth metals to the rest of the world. So the United States for many years now has had a very strategic interest in developing rare earth resources here in the United States. And so that's one, Hicks Dome is one, you know, of perhaps a few target places in the U.S. where it could really help, because there does seem to be not just an unusually high concentration of rare earth metals, but, and this is a very important part of it, rare earth metals that have concentrated themselves into their own ore minerals. And we have actually found some of those. My very first graduate student, who now works at the Illinois State Geological Survey, has found some of these rare earth minerals, you know, within the fissures, within, you know, the veins and cracks down in the rock underneath Hicks Dome.
You said this is very important. I got to say, I don't really understand exactly what you were saying there. Can you explain that to me like I'm a smart 13-year-old?
Yeah, so what we think happened, and I should say we don't know for sure yet exactly where the rare earth metals came from originally. That's something that we're still working on. But one strong possibility is that they came from this magma, that they were brought from the Earth's mantle up, you know, through this magma and almost made it to the surface at the location of Hicks Dome. And even though it didn't get to the surface, this magma would have released lots of really hot liquids and gases that carried the rare earths into the surrounding rock and then deposited them there. And then that's what we find up near the surface when we look at these rocks, is we actually find crystals of these very strange rare earth minerals that we don't see in many places in the world.
Interesting. Is there any danger? I think you told one of our producers that you could actually bring a Geiger counter up there and get some readings. Is there any danger to spending time on Hicks Dome?
No, not really. It's the type of radiation where, you know, it's detectable by our instruments. You know, it will set it off and it will let us know where those rocks are located. You know, but just spending time around those rocks, it's not a high enough level of radiation that it could actually harm anyone.
Okay.
It's detectable but safe.
So what are the next frontiers? What don't we know? What are you looking to learn more about in the weeks, months, and years ahead?
Yeah, so one thing that we want to understand is exactly how these rare earth minerals got there. Because if we can understand that process, then who knows, there may be other places in the United States or other places in the world that we might be able to find them. You know, the more we understand about those processes, the better idea we have of where exactly to look for these resources. So that's one thing that we want to understand. We also want to understand the timing, you know, of when exactly did this magma arrive, you know, here in southern Illinois? And, you know, was it at the same time that the rare earth minerals got to be there? We think probably it was close to the same time, but we're not sure. You know, we really have to examine samples from there and look for the chemical signatures to be able to piece together exactly what happened.
Well, absolutely fascinating. I am interested to learn that about this volcano and more about this, I should say. Maybe I'll even pay it a visit. Thank you so much, Daniel Hummer, professor of geology at SIU Carbondale. Thanks for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Before we go, we'd love to hear what you think about what we've been talking about today or any topic in the recent past, whether you liked it, didn't like it, if you think we got something factually wrong, right, whatever reason, leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121, or you can send us an email. talk@21stshow.org is the address. You can find that number and the email address and every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. We've got all of our past shows there, and you can find us most places you get your podcasts, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search for The 21st Show. I also want to mention something pretty exciting coming up just around the corner for our program. Starting next week, July 14th, our program will be airing 5 days a week. We're adding a Friday show where each week we'll be rounding up the latest news from our member stations around the state, as well as some of the state's top political reporters. We'll also be looking each week at a different part of our state's arts and culture and travel and history. So we hope you'll join us for that. Again, that is starting on Friday, July 14th, and every Friday after that. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Nick Boyven. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. Happy Independence Day. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.